Let us open our minds and our hearts this morning as we hear the words from Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountains to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Today's epistle lesson comes from the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. I found it interesting that as I was studying Philippians, that Philippi was a place where old soldiers would go, and so Paul refers to them as my fellow soldiers. Listen to Paul's words that he speaks. "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead." And this too is the word of God for us, the people of God. Church, will you pray for me? And I'll pray for you. Oh Lord Jesus Christ, we want to know you. That is why we are here today on Easter Sunday. We want to know you and the power of your resurrection. So Jesus, we ask that you would speak to us, and that hearing you speak, Lord, that we might love you more. Hearing you speak, Lord, that you might draw closer to us and we might draw closer to you, and that we might hunger for you even more. Speak to us, O God. Your servants are listening. Amen. So many of you know what I'm about to talk about. Some of you won't admit that you know what I'm about to talk about, though. I'm about to talk about skepticism, the wondering, the anxiety, perhaps even the fear that Christianity isn't true after all. Could it possibly be that the whole Christian faith was founded on a fantasy or a fraud, a misunderstanding or a simple mistake? Well, I want to suggest that our generation, our time, is not the time, the only time, to think such thoughts. When I think about these kinds of fears, I have two friends that come to mind. The first one is a young lady, and she has always felt that her faith was second rate. It was a huge disappointment to her parents. Her parents were the kind of folks that seemed to be on a first name basis with Jesus. Jesus was always placing things on their heart, speaking things to them, and Jesus never seemed to have anything to say to her. Jesus never seemed to place anything on her heart. And so when she went to church, she felt pretty much the same way she felt with her parents, as if God were speaking to everyone else, but had nothing to say to her. And so it was either unreal or unfair. And so now she's staying away from church more and more. Another friend of mine is a young man whose faith filled his soul like blood fills the heart. It all made sense to him, and it just shaped his whole life. But recently, his faith just seems obliterated. It's like he were trying to get blood through his body without his heart. Now, all of his friends, they keep looking for some event or a psychological explanation to give him a reason why his faith has disappeared, but he doesn't want a reason. He doesn't want an explanation because he's lost his present faith. He already has lost this present faith. He's afraid that if they can explain it away, that faith that he used to have, well, he won't have that either. You see, what he had was as real as anything he's ever known. It's just not there now. And so I thought of these friends during the season of Lent. A couple of men from our men's group joined me in meditating on Philippians chapter 3 for 5 weeks. And in that letter that Paul writes to the bunch of retired military guys in Philippi, he says something that I think gives both of my friends hope. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him in his death, that somehow I may attain the resurrection of the dead. I find these words amazing. Remember, this is St. Paul, the guy who wrote half the New Testament, the Bible, that book that we call the inspired Word of God, and he's saying, I want to know Christ. Not that I know all about this Jesus stuff, I know all about this God stuff, and take it from me, you accept this stuff or you're eternal toast. That's not what he's saying, is it? Paul's saying, I want to know Christ. Can you feel the apprehension of it all? Can you hear it? I don't quite know it all. Not yet. Not for sure. Now, maybe Paul's apprehension, it brings a level of panic for some of us. Surely we feel that the Bible is supposed to present us with this rock-solid, unshakable faith, and yet here in this scripture today, we see the greatest evangelist and apostle in the history of the Christian church, and he's saying that right now, he doesn't know it all. Does that make you panic? Does that mean that there's never been anyone in all of Christian history who knows for sure? Is that terrifying? Or is it incredibly liberating? Does it make you think that maybe faith isn't about being certain? And maybe it never was. Maybe faith begins where certainty ends. And if you feel that you've never found faith, maybe it's because you mistake faith for certainty. I'm reminded of a man that went all the way to Calcutta to meet Mother Teresa, and he worked with her there among the poor. And before he left, he asked the old saint if she would pray with him. And she said, sure. And he said, pray that God would give me clarity and certainty. You know what she said? No. She said, I've never had clarity. I've never had certainty. She said, I'll pray that God gives you faith. If you feel that you've lost your faith that you had, maybe this is the moment that faith begins. I want to know Christ. Feel the anxiety there. You see, Paul was a passionate man, but he does not exaggerate his faith. And read that last line, by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. There it is again. Do you see it? That somehow, if somehow I might attain the resurrection of the dead. Paul's not 100% sure in his knowledge of Christ, and he's not 100% sure what Jesus is going to do with him after he dies. Now, look, I don't blame you if you find this deeply disturbing, because for a lot of Christian history, this part of Paul's testimony and this dimension of our faith has just kind of been airbrushed out. The great revivals that shaped the church in the 18th and 19th century in America were largely founded on the idea of Jesus being a guaranteed instrument to let you bypass hell and go straight to heaven. The most popular and successful brands of Christianity today make Jesus a handy tool for material prosperity or inner peace or cultural dominance. But Paul is talking about something different, something holy. Paul is talking about a mystery that possesses you, a love that you grow into, and a mission that grabs a hold of you. Look with me, church, at precisely what Paul tells us about Christ in this scripture. He says three things. First, number one, he says, I want to know the power of Christ's resurrection. You see, if Christ was not raised from the dead, the Christian story is little more than the doomed love of God's last pathetic attempt to get us back. A failed Messiah that just hangs on a cross. But if Christ is raised from the dead, and I'm assuming that's why y'all got dressed up on Easter morning. If Christ is risen indeed, then God's love is finally not in vain, and our love is finally not in vain. That agonizing as it often feels, that all that is done in the name of love will finally become fruitful if Jesus is raised from the dead. That is, that death doesn't get the last word, that the darkness, it doesn't last, and all of our pain and all of our shame and all of our regrets will finally be redeemed if Jesus is raised from the dead. That nothing is wasted, that nothing is lost, nothing is thrown out in resurrection power. Fear will finally pass away and joy prevail. If resurrection power is the power, then all of our wounds become scar-covered beauty. Willpower, financial power, military power, nuclear power. No power competes or compares with this resurrection power that raised and executed Jesus from the tomb and breathes life into God's holy church. The power of the resurrection is the power that dismantles and disturbs and disrupts every other power and principality in this world, including our own. When Paul says, "I want to know Christ," he's saying, "I want to know the power of the resurrection." And then, second, Paul says, "I want to share in Christ's suffering that I might become like him in his death." And you wonder if Paul ever heard the phrase, "Be careful what you wish for." You see, if Jesus is a device for getting us to earthly comfort or eternal blessing, if Jesus is just a tool used to heal our every ill, then Paul's desire to suffer, it seems bizarre, meaningless, or misguided. But Paul is talking about suffering for Jesus' sake. Paul is saying, "I don't just want to be the beneficiary of Jesus' resurrection. I want to enter into the very process by which resurrection comes about. I want to go into the heart of darkness with Jesus that I may come to discover more wonderfully the splendor of light." You see, we can't appreciate or enjoy the light until we pass through the darkness. And some of you are passing through the darkness this week. I know that. I know that, and if you are passing through the darkness this week, you should be on the lookout for resurrection power. If you're passing through the darkness this week, remember our gospel story. It says that the women went to the tomb early in the morning, just as the sun was coming out. That is, just as light was entering the world, and they were too late. They were too late for resurrection. The angel said to them, "You look for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised." Do you see that? That they arrive at dawn as light comes into the world. But they're too late for resurrection power, because resurrection power happens in the darkness. If you are going through the darkness this week, learn from Paul that the path to faithfulness and virtue and salvation is a path that is paved with worship and discipline and mercy and longing and more than a little suffering. Now think back to my friend whose previously profound faith just disintegrated. You see, he knows what Paul's talking about. He would rather walk through intense suffering, even face death, provided that he knew he was close to the heart of God, than to face the daily trivialities of life alone. My friend is in the darkness right now, and Paul thinks that's a fine place for a Christian to be, because God works resurrection power, death to life power, in the darkness. And then third, this kind of anxious possibility. Paul says, "If somehow I may attain the resurrection of the dead." Somehow. Somehow. It's almost like it's an afterthought. And maybe an afterthought is exactly what it is. Maybe that's exactly the point, that knowing Christ is knowing the power of the resurrection. And if you know resurrection power, of course you'll take on suffering and death. That once you taste a love like Christ, that all other loves and all other tastes, they pale in comparison. So of course Paul's willing to deny himself and take up a cross. Of course he's willing to walk the narrow road with Christ. If you know the power of resurrection, it's more than worth it. And naturally, you hope to receive a blessing of eternal life after your own death. But even if you didn't, it would still be worth it to know Christ and the power of the resurrection. That's the heart of it all. That faith is precisely in this discovery, that to know Christ and the power of His resurrection is worth any suffering, whether it ends in gift or eternal life, or not. Don't mishear me. Yes, we believe and we hope for everlasting life and the gift and fruit of Christ's resurrection. Yes, we rightly sing, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." We sing blessed assurance not because we're sure we know everything about Jesus, but because we're sure that Jesus, the crucified and risen one, knows everything about us and remembers us and will not forget us even unto eternity. You see, faith begins where certainty ends. That moment where we let go of our own destiny and say, "I want to know Christ more than anything else and the power of His resurrection, even if there's no reward, no matter the consequences." Brothers and sisters, Jesus is not a device. And this is the deep flaw in most of American Christianity. Jesus is not a device that gets us to something better or more important, like prosperity or peace or eternal life or a social agenda. Jesus isn't some means to an end that is better and more important, because nothing is better than Jesus. Nothing is more important than Jesus. He is at the heart of it all, and that's what faith is. It's saying that I want to know Jesus more than all else, and I'll take the consequences. Because Jesus is God saying to us that your faith in me, it may be as fickle or as hesitant or as fragile as it is, but my faith in you will not waver, not for a second. Jesus is God saying to us, your love of me, it may be as weak or as puny or as strong as it is, but my love for you, it will not be shaken. Jesus is God saying to us, I'll suffer the consequences of my love for you. And so I want to return to my two friends. Come here, boy. See Nikki. I want to return to my two friends. To my friend that's always put off by other people's strong faith, I want to say to her, quit worrying about how other people talk about God and focus on this one question. Do I want to know the power of His resurrection? Not do I feel it. Remember, Paul couldn't even say that all the time. The question is, do I want to know it? Do I want to know resurrection power more than any other power in the world? That's the only question that matters. And if the answer is yes to that, then all of Paul's promises can come true for you and your family, your loved ones. But if the answer to that question really is no, well, you may be facing a loneliness that knows no end. To my friend who is aching for all the faith that he lost, I want to say that wanting to believe is believing. That yearning and longing and aching to believe is to enter into the very passion and the pathos of God's longing and yearning and desire that all of creation might be redeemed in resurrection power. That faith begins where certainty ends. Paul says, I want to know Jesus, not I know. Do not let your uncertainty paralyze you, friends. Let it make you bolder, more dependent than ever on the power of the resurrection. And don't let your sense of God's absence isolate you. Jesus said, when did you see me hungry? Today, I think it is you that hungers. You're desperately hungry. You're hungry to know Christ and the power of the resurrection. And maybe it's time for people to see Jesus in you. Let people see that you're hungry for Jesus, and they will see the Jesus who hungers. If you're like one of my two friends and feeling fragile in your faith, take courage. Be bold in your longing to know Christ and find ways to make that longing to know Christ a quest that other people can join in. Paul's faith was at times apprehensive, but Paul found a way to make his longing to know Christ so infectious that it inspired everyone who came after. You can do the same. John Wesley, one of the founders of Methodism, said, set yourself ablaze for Christ and people will come for miles to watch you burn. You see, you don't need to hide your searching or your longing or your uncertainty. Instead, do what Paul did. Make that longing and that uncertainty an inspiration to others. Paul's words, Paul's life, they became part of the Bible, the story of God. By any standard, that's a big deal. But I want to suggest to you that your life and your words can become a sort of Bible to other people if your life and your words say, more than anything else, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, and I'll suffer or forgo any reward if all I could know is Jesus. Let your life speak of your longing to know Jesus, and others will see resurrection in you. Amen.